Welcome, you guys. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Chloe Ballatore. I am a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's One Institute. I've been doing this work for over 10 years now. And all the stuff I'm going to teach you tonight is based on very established scholarship, which I'll review in brief. But what's unique about this work are the tools to execute on that scholarship. Excuse me. A lot of times when we go to therapy, we get a chance to express ourselves and to get our feelings and thoughts reflected back to us, but we often don't see change from that alone. And so this is a group for people who have perhaps been frustrated by that experience. A lot of people go to therapy to change their lives and then they don't find that that happens. So this work, doing this work, you will change your life. You will see changes. It change is always painful, even change for the better. That's the title of my second book, actually, New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change. I've written four books on this work, and they're all available on Amazon. I put my credentials in earlier. I'll just do it again. So if you guys want to check that out, everything is available through my website too, so you can find more collateral there as well. I, in addition to teaching this work for over a decade, I'm also myself over 20 years married. So everything I'm teaching you, I have also vetted and had my own experience with. And I can say honestly that I've never really seen results from any modality, of healing, of spiritual evolution, of psychological evolution, like I have using these tools. I use the tools of androgynous semantic realignment, which was created by my mentor, Pat Allen. I use the tools of transactional analysis, which was created by Eric Byrne. And I use tools that I've come up with myself. Okay, so what I'm going to do is give you guys a background of what this work is all about. And then most of the time, I'm going to be answering your questions. So, whatever brought you here, my specialty is dating and relationships, but we often talk about family problems, work problems, problems in communications, problems with the relationship with self, because ultimately every relationship is the relationship that you have with yourself, is an extension of that. But because the principles upon which this work is based are true and universal, you can take these tools and translate them to other areas in addition to dating and relationships, though dating and relationships is my specialty. Okay, so think of your questions, because that's really my favorite part. And that's the chance that we have to see some of this theory matched up with what you guys are going through in your lives. Okay, so when we talk about relationships, and especially most successful relationships, we're talking about the balance of complementary energies, yin and yang, feminine and masculine. Those are synonyms. And these relationships tend to be the most successful. If you have two masculine energies, you have a power struggle for control. And if you have two feminine energies, you have a power struggle for sympathy. This work enables you to negotiate with love. So it's especially pertinent when you're having a conflict or there's an awkward situation. You don't need to always be doing this work and be cognizant of all the tools, but it certainly helps in awkward situations and in conflicts. And if you want to be in a long-term relationship, you better get good at conflict resolution. Conflicts are not resolved by avoiding them. That makes conflicts grow. So this work is great because it really gives you a protocol to address things in a polite and considerate manner that we call negotiating with love. According to Eric Byrne, there's three ways to communicate: bully with intimidation or fear, which is the masculine in the extreme; seduce with guilt or tears, which is the feminine energy in the extreme; or negotiate with love. And so that's what we're doing here, and that's what I teach. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what feminine and masculine are. Feminine energy is the right brain. It's the world of feelings. It's the world of sensuality, sexuality, creativity, magic. Feminine energy is passive, patient, vulnerable. Feminine energy is receiving. It's in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. And then all of us have that left brain, that masculine energy that is single-minded. This is the world of thoughts. This is competitive, conquering, controlling. This is the side of ourselves we employ most of the time when we're at work because we don't really deal with feelings at work. We're competing, we're achieving, we're doing, we're taking care of. These are all masculine attributes. And masculine energy is very much of the world. Every one of us is both masculine and feminine, and one side is not better than the other. We all of us have a unique balance within us of these energies. And we are the most the clear, we are the most focused, we are the most authentic when these energies are in balance within our own selves. Now, often we get thrown out of balance when we've had some kind of childhood trauma, and most of us have had some kind of childhood trauma, either with a capital T or a small t. And trauma is really anything that separates us from our innocence. Trauma is when we have to sacrifice our authenticity in order to attach. And we often have to do that as children because we're very dependent on grown-ups to run the refrigerator, to provide the roof over our heads. Human children are not that independent. And so we figure out ways to attach to those people so that they will take care of us. But that's often at the cost of our authenticity. Now, the good news is when we grow up, we don't have to do that. We can focus on being authentic and we don't need to sacrifice that in order to attach, right? If something's not working, we can go find someone else. We can take care of ourselves if we have to. But as children, we can't do that. And because we develop these coping strategies between the ages of 0 to 12, when we're the most dependent, we think that they're existential truths, but really they're only strategies of the moment. And so the problem occurs when we get into our adult lives and we try to use these strategies in our most intimate relationships. That tends to be where we see our issues come up first, is in our intimate relationships. So if you have a pat, people are patterns. And if you have a pattern that doesn't serve you and you've noticed that, a lot of people come to me, I keep attracting this kind of a person or this keeps happening. I keep ending up with my mother, even though I thought I was consciously choosing somebody else. I really work with people to end these subconscious, unconscious patterns so that they can get the love they want or get whatever it is you want. So all this work is driven by what you want. I try not to make judgments. It's more about helping you with what you want to accomplish. And as long as it's not immoral or unethical or illegal. Okay. So now I'm going to open it up for your guys' questions. And again, you can put a question into the chat. You can raise your hand. And I also love to hear your updates because we learned so much from those, and I'd love to see how you're using this work out in the field. Okay. Sophia.
Oh, hey.
Hi, how are you?
doing good.
How can I help you?
I've had a lot of changes happen. I briefly did online dating and I didn't like it, as I kind of expected.
Okay, but you had to try
Yeah.
it.
I had to try it just to close the door.
Yeah.
And I realized that it was blocking me from somebody in my social circle who I feel like might be interested in me. And then, like, I kind of like crashed and burned because I had like a mental breakdown in front of him because of something related to like my house falling apart. And now I'm like in a weird spot where I feel like I've ruined my chances with him. But then he asked if I was married. So I thought, oh, he's interested in me.
Yeah, that's a good sign. No, you know what? So much of the time, the way that we think, like we want to make this good impression, and it doesn't end up being a good impression. You know, the best impressions are really the authentic impressions, and you don't have to be positive all the time. If you showed, remember the attributes of femininity, passive, patient, vulnerable. If you showed him you were vulnerable, if you showed him you needed help, that's probably very attractive to him.
Oh, yeah. And also, like, he did. I think he received it well because he said, let me get you in touch with my best friend's dad, who's a realtor, in case you want to sell your house. And I was like, oh, yay. Like, now I'm probably going to bait him into coming my house because I can't lift my water softener bag myself. So I'm going to ask him if he can
Oh,
lift it for me.
perfect. Perfect. Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly, you know, you've definitely come, you're definitely learning. This is really good. So,
Yeah, and I'm just
excellent.
hoping that the water softener bag can be like a good segue. Like I've been like we've known each other for like 6 months, but like I've never like really come outside of the house. He's whatever. He like mows my lawn and stuff. But like every time I'm out, like he asks about like my marital status, and then I finally like realized it when I got off the dating apps. Oh, you know.
Right, he likes
But
you.
I don't know how to get him to ask me out.
Oh, well, you know, I think you're on the right track. And, you know, the more you can, when he does come over, you know, the more you can show respect for him, you know, his ideas, echo his ideas or praise him or go, God, you're so strong or whatever it is he's doing. Thank you so much. You know, it'll probably just happen organically. And if after a while it gets really frustrating and it's not happening, you know, we'll figure it out and we'll put the bait, as you say, we'll put the bait out for him.
It's like rat poison, whatever.
No. It's for, you know, it's for love. It's for something really good, so it's okay.
Oh, and I was definitely tooting his horn. I said, oh, wow, you did such a good job on the garden bed. Now there's flowers in it. And I sent a picture of the flowers.
Oh, excellent.
And
I love it.
he was like,
Excellent
I'm
work.
glad it's like that. And I was like, I have so many other things to do with the house. And then I felt like he was probably confused because like I was just talking about selling the house like 2 weeks prior.
Right. That's okay.
But yeah,
That's
I guess
fine.
he thinks that if he can't handle me changing my mind often, maybe that's a sign that maybe not want his
It's
woman.
very feminine to do that. You know, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. So
Oh yeah.
I think it all sounds really promising. I wouldn't worry at all about messing it up. You're definitely on the right track. You there? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Thank you for sharing. Did you have anything else to add? If you do, raise your hand. Okay, Wendy, I know you had a question that you emailed me.
Yeah, thanks, Chloe. I think I'd rather not talk about it publicly. I want to protect the people involved.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can answer that or if that was too much for a private thing.
Well, I don't know how I could answer it without talking about it.
No, I mean private within email.
Oh,
It's
oh, 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 oh. I think it would take a minute. So if you want, we can do like a short session, like a 15-minute session. For those of you guys who don't know me, and know my work is I do book appointments, but I also am available in shorter periods of time. So I have an hourly rate, but I also will often book just 15 minutes for people. if they have a quick question. So that's what I'm talking about with Wendy.
How
So
much is
yeah.
15, again, 15 minutes is
So
how
it's 200 an hour, so 15 minutes is 50.
Okay.
And then sometimes people, like my real regular clients, will just hit me up just with periodic questions, and then I'll keep like a tally of it. So if it's, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, I'll do that. But that's, we have to kind of have a relationship first. But if you're interested in that, we can discuss that too. Does that make sense?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh,
You know that, right? Okay. You got that. Okay. I did also get a question last week. Let's see. On Meetup, which I wanted to answer. And this question was from Alice. Okay. Bear with me a moment. Or if somebody else has a question, feel free to raise your hand and we can move to that. Messages. Okay. Well, I can't find it right now. Okay. So, does anybody else have something that they want to talk about? Again, it can really be about anything, but my specialty is dating and relationships. I know sometimes it is hard to ask in a room of strangers, but sometimes it's easier. Oh, here it is. Okay. Oh, Sophia, what?
Oh, hey. I have a whole topic if nobody else has questions.
Oh, okay, shoot.
Yeah, so I was thinking today, like I can kind of be somewhat of a too much of an open book sometimes with people that I'm close to, or even people that I'm not close to, shoot. Like, and I was just wondering, like, the concept of like I should just like not try to like pretend that I'm like closed off if that's not actually how I am. Like I've always noticed like with people that I date, I try to like hide my flaws and then it comes out and then I get really embarrassed and I hide. And I was just wondering if like there's some sort of balance that people try to strike between like hiding your flaws versus like having like being authentic.
What do you mean your flaws?
Like when I like having a mental breakdown over like, oh my gosh, I should sell this house. I'm gonna donate it to charity. I should have never done this as a single mom. Like I was just kind of really going at it.
So you mean you seemed irrational, or you lost your temper, or you lost your cool, or whatever?
Oh, that too. Like I didn't realize that he was like right behind, like on my side yard. He parked on a different location one time and like I slammed the car door because my kid kept screaming and I was like, we're gonna go somewhere. And he saw
Well,
that.
it didn't turn him off. And the truth is, all of us can be crazy sometimes and insecure and lose our tempers and cry and break down. And, I think too much effort is often put into trying to put up a veneer that never happens. Even doing this work and being working on yourself and being evolved, it doesn't mean you're never going to have negative feelings. I mean, that's part of the duality of living on this planet is having, if you have happiness, you have sadness. If you feel secure, you will have moments where you feel insecure. So I think it's totally fine. The problem becomes more when those things happen in the context of the relationship. So it's okay, probably, for him to see you break down or whatever. But if you were, let's say you guys were in a relationship and you came over to his house, or you guys had a date, or you were living together, you're married, came home and you were like, Okay. And then you started blaming it on him, for example.
Oh.
Then it would become a problem, right? Because
Yeah.
that's not really fair. That's a gamified communication, meaning you're playing a game in which you're trying to get rid of your bad feeling by pushing it on him and blaming him. And that's something that people often do in intimate relationships, not even necessarily consciously, but just because, I'm sure you've gone through it. You're in a bad mood and you snap at your kid or you snap at your spouse or whatever it is. And things like that just happen. And so that's where you really need to be. It's not that you can't ever be upset, but you want to stay away from gamified communication. There's a great book about the games people play. It's the Handbook for Game Theory. It's written by Eric Byrne. And it goes into all the different kinds of ways he calls that specific one hot potato. But it goes into all different kinds of ways that we use communication to play games on each other and different paradigms like courtroom or kick me. There's all this. So if you're into that, it's pretty interesting. And I'm sure I mean, every time people read that and I recommend that book and they come back and they say, oh my God, I recognize so many games in there that I'm either a part of or that were played on me. So it's really useful to be able to assess that and analyze that when you do see a game and communication coming up, because the games are always inauthentic and it's a sign that you're either being manipulated or controlled, even if it's unconscious. So that one I told you about is hot potato, because it's like you have a bad feeling, you try to throw it on somebody else. So that's when I think that's when it turns into a red flag. But just being upset in and of itself isn't a problem.
Yeah, that's good. Like, I've always felt like, oh, I need to work on like my neuroticism, and I need to have a secure attachment style before I consider like dating again. But like, I'm realizing that like it's not working. Like, I
Right.
think like I can like work on boundaries and stuff, and but like everything like goes to hell when I'm stressed, and the games, like, that's more of a I know when I'm playing games with people. I used to do that with my ex all the time. But he, oh my gosh, that's why I stay away from dismissive avoidance. They really trigger me.
Right. Well, right. And of course, you want to be going towards secure attachment, but it's very hard to do that without being in a relationship and kind of, doing that work. That's when you really see where you are. Oh, can I do it? Oh, no, I'm freaking out right now and I'm texting. Crazy. Oh, okay. Well, that wasn't quite the secure attachment.
Yeah, that's
But
so
otherwise,
accurate.
just like in the abstract, just you could be securely attached just walking down the street. You know what I mean? So it's like you kind of have to be challenged in order to see where you're at.
Yeah, but thank you.
You're welcome. You're doing really well. Okay, here's the question that came through. Is it a red flag if I enjoy communicating with the person by texting, video chatting, and like his voice in pictures, but when in person, he doesn't seem so attractive? Okay. So, yes and no. I always recommend that you go on at least 3 dates with somebody because sometimes people are nervous on the first date, and especially for women, chemistry can grow a little bit over a few dates. You definitely do need to have chemistry. For successful relationships, you need chemistry, which is that gift from God, right? Either you're attracted to someone or you're not attracted to someone. And sometimes you're attracted to someone that even isn't good for you or isn't even physically your type, but somehow you're attracted. Okay. Then you have compatibility, which is do you want the th same things? And then the last is communication. And that you can work on the most. You can work a little bit on compatibility. Sometimes you can convince somebody to have kids if they didn't really want to have kids in the first place, but or move to New York or whatever it is. But communication, which is really the center of most problems in relationships, that's my specialty, and that's what we can really work on the most. So without chemistry, it's very hard to get through the bad days, and every relationship has bad days. So if you don't think he's attractive at first, but you like certain things about him, I recommend you go out like at least 3 times and give him a chance. Maybe that attraction will grow, because some of us have also been trained to intertwine the notion of love with pain, so that if somebody's nice to us, it may not initially seem that attractive. So that's another reason why you want to give people at least a chance of 3 dates. Okay. So you can raise your hand if you have a question. You can put it in the chat if you have a question. If not, we will wrap it up. And again, feel free to give me an update as well. You can ask a question about dating, relationships, family communications, mental health. I work with a lot of people with their childhood trauma and seeing those patterns and how they're affecting their love life. It's your night, Sophia.
Yeah, I just had a funny thought.
Okay.
It seems like masculine men are attracted to unstable women. Like, is that
Yes,
what I'm picking up?
yes, yes.
Wow, I should be in luck then.
Yes. Because a man needs to be needed. Men need to do good to feel good. So if there's nowhere for him in your life, then he'll probably walk away. Men don't want to compete with somebody else who seems very, very competent. That's why I tell women who want to be in their feminine energy. And by the way, women, you don't need to be in your feminine energy. You can be in your masculine energy and you can find a very nice feminine man. But if you want to be in your feminine energy, then you don't lead with your work experience, your achievements, or I own a home. I'm a nurse. I graduated top of my class. You would it's not a job interview, women, especially for women. So, being emotionally unstable, yes, men love that. Men love a little project. Of course, it can go too far, but again, men need to do good to feel good. So a man really gets something out of that. When he helps you. Okay. You're laughing. Okay. Does anyone else have a question or a comment? You can ask a question about anything that we've talked about. Put my stuff again into the chat. Hi, Raul. Do you have a question?
My phone is locked
Oh,
up.
okay.
No, I just wanted to share along that line about men needing to do stuff. I had a recent discussion yesterday with my partner, and I was telling her how, my days have been very stressful and all that. That could, that's led to some communication issues between her and myself. And her response was, "Oh, well, if you're too stressed, then I'll just take care of my own stuff, but you take care of your stuff." And I was telling her, I said, "Well, why are you firing me?"
Right.
I felt like she was firing me,
Right.
and I was like, and I and you know, I told her, it's not about, I'm not complaining about, the things that we do together and all stuff. I'm just letting you know that that's part of what the issue is. So,
Right. She tried to
but
cherish your feelings in that moment because that's how she's been trained. So, very good on you to not let that happen because you know when that
right.
happens, it kills the chemistry.
Right.
So that was good. Excellent.
Want to share that.
Okay, George, how to find your soulmate? Hi, George. Do you want to unmute? Can you speak or do you not want to speak? You want me just to answer how to find your soulmate? Okay. I mean, it's a pretty general qu Oh, you're outside. Okay. How to find your soulmate? Well, I was going to ask you if you're dating or where you're hunting for women and or men. Whatever you like is fine. This work translates for homosexual as well. Okay, you're not on, he's saying he's not on the apps. Okay. So, I recommend starting with the five flirts. Do you know if you want to be in your masculine energy or your feminine energy? Meaning, masculine energy, do you want your thoughts respected? Feminine energy, do you want your feelings cherished? Everybody wants both. Everybody wants both. But which do you want more in your relationships? Can you put that into the chat? Because that will determine how you're doing your flirts, how you're doing your flirting. I don't get. Okay, you don't understand. Okay, well, let's just assume for tonight that you want to be in your masculine energy. That means you're going to be the one asking the person out. You're going to be initiating contact on the date. You're going to be the one planning it, controlling it, probably paying for it. And when you're flirting, what I want you to do is when you go out, you're going to do five flirts a week. Four of them are going to be just in the course of your day. So if you're going to the park, or you're going to the grocery store, if you're going to play tennis, whatever you're going to do, if you see someone that catches your eye, give them 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile and see if they respond. If they return the eye contact and smile for, 3 to 5 seconds, not just brief, then that's your go ahead to approach. Then you can, say, make some conversation. Oh, I like your sweater, or your dog, is your dog friendly, or whatever it is. If they don't give you that, then don't approach. Okay. One day a week, you're going to plant yourself somewhere, be it a Starbucks near a yoga studio, be it a museum cafe, be it, the beach, wherever you want to go, but go somewhere where you like the kind of people that hang out there. Go to 40 for 45 minutes to an hour. You can bring your phone or bring a book, but when somebody comes in that matches what you think is attractive, that catches your fancy, then you give the eye contact and the smile, and you have an opportunity for them to sit down with you, for them to, for you to start a conversation, for you to open the door for them, for you to close a window, whatever it is, that you can show a woman that you cherish her feelings. That's always what's most appealing to a feminine energy person. So try that. And if you plant yourself the same place over and over, it's nice because people get to know you and then they see you there on a repeated basis. And that gives women especially comfort. That's why a lot of people meet at work, is because at work you get to see someone under a lot of different kinds of situations and different pressures and stresses without the pressure and stress of dating. So try those five flirts. I guarantee you doing that, you will meet people. And the really important thing is, I know a lot of men sometimes balk at these, but it's not creepy to give a woman eye contact and smile. It's only creepy if you keep pushing after you get the no. He says, I'm so shy to talk the first attempt because from last experience, they were talking, then disappear. I don't know why. Well, maybe that wasn't the right person for you, but that was before you met me, because I think tonight is your first night in this group. So try this. You've never tried this. It's important that you don't let your past experiences prevent you from trying new things to meet people. So I understand it's difficult, but this is, it's a pretty mild way to start, just walking by somebody and give them 5 seconds of eye contact and smile. If they return it and you're too nervous to say anything, just say hi. How are you? Whatever. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And gradually you'll desensitize to it. Okay, I hope that helps. And if if you guys want to talk privately, that's what the sessions, private sessions are for. That tonight, Thursday nights is for the group. It's for us to learn from each other. It's for you guys to get introduced to this work. Some of I also teach this work. I'm going to try to get one more module one out this year. That's under this link for modules and packages. So if you want to sign up for that, that's a private group. And it's small. And then, of course, I also have private sessions. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples. What's five could type to me? I don't know what that means. What's five could type to me? Okay. I saw some other questions up here. I always see in men's online ads that they want someone stable, self-confident. It's a bit intimidating to me when men say that because it feels like they see women as unstable. Right. Okay. So I think that's a really interesting point, Wendy. Humans are generally not that great at predicting what's going to make them happy. And I think that's part of the problem with dating apps is that they become this like assessment and you're checking boxes. And it's a very mental exercise. And it's almost aspirational too. It's like, oh, what would ideally I want? And a lot of times we think we want one thing. I know for me, I thought I wanted X, Y, and Z. When I met my husband, he had a whole lot of A and I went for it. So, I wouldn't take that stuff that people are writing on dating apps too literally. Although sometimes that can be a signal that maybe they want somebody, a more masculine woman or a more masculine energy person, right? So I just wouldn't take it too literally. But like I said, if they're looking for confident, high achieving, that may mean that they're more feminine and they're looking for more masculine energy, which would not necessarily apply to you because I've worked with you before and I know you're looking to be in the feminine energy and you don't want to compete. Oh, could you type what you said, those trips to try? No, I'm not going to type that. Those are the five flirts. You can find them in my book if you want to get my book. And also, this recording will be available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. So I'm not going to type that into the chat right now. Okay. Do you guys have any other questions or comments? What's this now? You're welcome. You guys can reach out to me privately during the week. If it's something quick, I'll try to answer it. If it's not, then we can set up a session. And if you're in meetup, I'm open to doing, like I said, a very short session if you want that. I really like to work that way because most of the time people need help in the moment. And with traditional therapy, you have to set appointments. I don't do any standing appointments. So you really just reach out when you need me. And then I try to get back as soon as I possibly can, so that you're not in a situation where you have an appointment Friday, but you're having a crisis on Tuesday. That's not that helpful. The link to the YouTube is here in the chat. The last line, YT. It's at Chloe Ballatore 7702. Okay. So, yeah, you guys can check out the books. You can sign up for the module if you want to do that. And if I don't hear from you, we will meet back here next week. I'm usually here every Thursday. We've been building this group on Meetup for a couple of years now. And it's become like a really great community. So thanks for coming and thanks for sharing. If nobody else has a question, then I will see you all next week.